Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk about the call to faith. The call to faith. And I believe that faith is a call. I think God calls us and says, will you have faith? Will you step out in faith? Will you walk in faith, live in faith, believe in faith? And Hebrews 11 is proof that many do. And I think all of us have a call to faith. Will we trust the Lord? Will we believe the Lord? And will we walk in faith? We begin at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. Whereby it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All of us at one time or another have probably hoped for something. We probably are in the process of hoping for something even now. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's knowing that it's there, even though we can't see it, it's there. It's the evidence. Faith kind of helps us see something that's invisible. And because of that, because we believe in seeing things that are invisible, we are sometimes counted as crazy. We're counted as way out there somewhere. And yet, as I read the scripture in verse 2, the elders believed in the invisible, and it was counted for them as a good testimony. They obtained a good testimony. So many before us have believed in the things they couldn't see. By faith, we understand. And if there's nothing more in chapter 11 that I want to leave with you, I want you to see those four words and the power of those four words. By faith we understand. Because sometimes we don't understand any other way. We don't understand in any other way. But by faith we understand. I'm reading right now a little book called I forget the title of it, but it's by Stephen Hawking, the astrophysicist that has since passed away, who struggled with the creation of the universe and finally admitted he didn't believe in God. And yet, in reading this book, I wanted to see his take on some things. And he may have said he didn't believe in God, but I tell you, about every third page mentions God. I understand. I admire him. He had a disease, debilitating disease. Pretty remarkable fellow, really. And yet I can't believe that somewhere down deep inside of him there was always the biting question, are you sure there's no God? And so in reading his account of creation and the different historical beliefs about how we began, it always comes back down to, and even in his words, we really don't know where it all started. They have, opinions and theories, but we really don't know where it all started. And to me, that's a gateway to saying, by faith we understand. Amen? That the things that are seen were made from things that are not seen. We understand that sometimes we have to walk out this Christian life not understanding a lot of things, but by faith believing that somehow there is a power greater than ours that does. He's got the full picture. Amen? We see through a glass dimly, Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We see a blur of things, but God has got it covered, and he sees everything from beginning to ending. And then, starting at verse 4, it has this incredible list of names of people who walked by faith. Many of them you will recognize. I don't have to comment on most of them because you know their stories. You know what they went through. The Old Testament is is just full of stories, not only of those that whose names are mentioned, but those whose names are not mentioned, of people that walked in faith, they believed in faith, they trusted in faith, they obeyed in faith, not understanding always what was happening or God's design, but they believed in faith. And so in verse 4, it mentions Abel. And verse 5, it mentions Enoch. And then in verse 7, it mentions Noah. These three kind of begin the account of history. I reread Noah's story last night when I was preparing. I reread Noah's story, and I won't spend a lot of time on it. But when Noah stepped out in faith, there were 8 souls that were saved in the flood. And I believe in a worldwide flood. I don't believe it was a localized flood. I believe in a worldwide flood. The Bible is clear that it says every mountain under heaven was covered. And in order to do that, you have to have a worldwide flood. And so Noah, by faith, obeyed. God said, I want you to build an ark. And so Noah did that by faith. Now, he had no blueprints. He had nothing to refer back to. Matter of fact, it had not even rained. And Noah was preaching, a preacher of righteousness, telling people it was going to rain. And it had never rained before. He was pretty well counted crazy in his day. He was humiliated. He never got one convert in all the years of preaching before the flood, except his household. His household. And that's what we're responsible for first, before anything else. It's our family. Amen? Come on. It's our family. By faith, Noah and his wife and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his sons, and their wives went into the ark by faith. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know where it was going to go. But eventually it landed on the mountains somewhere in Ararat and probably in Turkey. And he began to test the waters, as it were, by sending out the raven and then sending out the dove. And finally the dove came. And then the Bible records that the first thing Noah did when he got off that ark was he built an altar. He built an altar, and he has this incredible responsibility to repopulate the earth with 4 families. He, his wife, and their 3 sons, they have to repopulate the earth. And the first thing he does is he built an altar, and he called on the Lord, and he asked God to help him because he was a man of faith. Amen? How many believe it ought to start with an altar? It all start with something where we can say, Lord, I don't understand maybe just what happened. I don't understand the scope of the wickedness, where the Bible says that man in Noah's day was so wicked that every waking moment the imagination of their hearts was wicked continually. I don't understand that kind of wickedness. I don't understand that kind of horribleness, but it was enough for God to repent or regret that he had made the earth. But he saw in Noah a man of righteousness who lived by faith. And then you go on in verse 8, and he mentions Abraham. And sometimes what is lost in the Abraham story is verse 11, and it mentions Sarah. All these it says by faith, by faith, by faith. How many believe Sarah was just as important as Abraham in that story, right? Amen. And then it goes down in verse 17, and it mentions Abraham again. Verse 20, Isaac by faith. Verse 21, Jacob by faith. Verse 22, Joseph by faith. And then it mentions in verse 23, the faith of Moses' parents, though not mentioned by name. We know they were Amram and Jochebed was their names. It was their faith that sent that little baby out into the bulrushes. All right? And then it mentions Moses' faith. Verse 30, though his name isn't mentioned, it's the faith of Joshua. Verse 31, the faith of Rahab, the harlot. And then it mentions in verse 32, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. All of those, by faith, did what they did by faith. Their stories are stories of faith. You can read all about them in the Old Testament. It is by faith, it is by faith, by faith. Verse 35, now we're going to mention people without names. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. It mentions women. We don't know who those women were. We can find a few in the Old Testament, but there were many more, just called women, just women by faith. And then verse 35 says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Who were the others? It's the nameless people of God who trusted by faith. We're getting closer and closer to who we are. Verse 36 says, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings and of chains and imprisonment. So still others by faith had to go through things they didn't understand, but by faith they understood that God had it in His control. Then in verse 38, it says the world was not worthy of them. They, another group of people, nameless, but they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens. Verse 39, all these, he's coming to this crescendo. As we approach the end verse of chapter 11, he says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. But they lived by faith. They believed in faith. They knew that somehow God had it under control. And then verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So Hebrews chapter 11 ends the same way it begins. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's verse 1. By it the elders obtained a good report. And then verse 3, by faith we understand. The verse 3, we are the same as verse 40, us. This whole chapter starts with us and it ends with us. And packed into the middle are all of those that came before us and exhibited faith, powerful faith. The names we recognize, the nameless ones. It calls on all of us to recognize how important it is to trust God in faith, to stand in faith, to believe in faith. 42 years ago, Cheryl and I packed up a U-Haul and borrowed a truck and by faith moved to a town we had never been to before in our lives. We did it by faith. We did it by faith. We had no idea what we would find when we got here. We had no idea if you would like us or not. We had no idea of those 60 people that were here, including children and babies and adults, when we met them for the first time on that Wednesday night. We had no idea if they would like our son, Eddie, just a little guy. We had no idea if anyone would come back the following Sunday. I preached that Wednesday by faith, not knowing what kind of preaching these folks liked or didn't like. I just preached what I thought God had for me, and I wondered, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, would anybody come back? Who would show up on Sunday? But we believed somehow by faith. And we did that, and we spent all our money moving. All our money moving. We had no money, and I had to go back for a second load. But on that Sunday morning, one of the elders who had since gone to be with the Lord put money in my hands to make the return trip so we could come back. I think at least one liked my preaching. By faith. No, they came back and we grew, and I mean, years later, Landmark has been a wonderful place. A wonderful place to be and to live. And I don't know how much longer God will have us here. But I know He's got it. He knows by faith. There's been a number of times that I thought maybe we should just move on. But every time I fought with that, the Lord seemed to say that wasn't His will. But through this whole journey of faith, above everything else, I've wanted the will of God. The will of God. And so the us the we in verse 3 and the us in verse 40, to bring it down personal, it's Cheryl and I. It's our kids, Eddie and Sharina, and their spouses. It's Mark and Denise. It's Riley. It's John and Chris. And on. It's every one of you in this building. The we of verse 3 and the us of verse 40 is every one of you. Faith. You say, I don't have the kind of faith that Abraham had. I don't have the kind of faith that Moses had. I don't have the kind of faith that Isaac had. Well, maybe you don't, and maybe I don't. But I would like to think that if we're mentioned here with the we and the us, that God sees the potential of all of us having that kind of faith. Amen? Amen. You that have children, remember that firstborn? You were parents by faith. I don't think any of you said, we've got this covered. We know how to raise kids. Just give me one. I'll show you. Boy, did you learn differently, right? It was by faith. Remember when you got married? Did anyone here say, I got this covered? Never been married before, but how hard can that be? Till you found the first pair of underwear laying on the bathroom floor. And you almost had to go to counseling to stop the divorce. By faith, amen? Remember when you took your first job, your first assignment? I got this covered. I'm an expert in the field. I can handle this. And then, crashed. And you realized you didn't have it all together. By faith, you just kept working at it, working at it, working at it. See, faith isn't one of those things where we part the waters of the Red Sea one time and we've got it covered. No, every one of these stories, if you go back and reread the stories, it wasn't just a one-day faith, it was a lifetime faith. Amen? And one step of faith led to another and led to another and led to another. That's what Cheryl and I discovered here. One step of faith led one direction, and then it led to another and another and another and another until finally we realized, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When Hebrews 11 is over, look what it says in chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, there it is again, that we, it's us, you and I, in this building right now, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. How many believe we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses today? Amen? Who are they? I just read the list. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, women, others, still others, they, all these, the prophets. That's the cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, there is something left for us to do. It's incumbent on us to do these next two things. It's incumbent on us to actually do these next three things, if you will. And what are those things? Because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because those that have gone before us have exercised and lived by faith, then it is left up to us, number one, to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. If we're to be people of faith, there's some things we've got to lay aside. We've got to put aside. Number two, let us run with endurance. Run with endurance. Run and not give up. Run with endurance. And number three, the race that is set before us. It's kind of number two, but it's that idea of we've got to run with endurance. And what are we running? We're not running from, but we're running to something. Amen? And so the 10 young people line up on the 100-yard dash, the starting line. That was That was my event in high school. We lined up on the starting line, and looking forward, there was 100 yards. I know it's meters now. This is back in the old days. 100 yards down there was the finish line. And I ran that race I don't know how many times. I didn't win every one, but I won a lot of them. But never once, when we got to that starting line, and that person raised that gun and popped off that round that signaled the start of the race, did anybody in those starting blocks turn around and run the other direction? Not once. I never saw that one time. I saw people fall. I saw people stumble. Matter of fact, the first 100-yard dash I was ever in Ceres, California, a young person named what was his name? Fernando Cruz, I believe his name was. He got a third of the way. He was ahead of everyone, and he slipped, and he stumbled, and he fell on the ground. Everyone passed him. He got up and won the race. That's how fast he was. Cruz Valenzuela, that was his name. He won the race after falling down. It's a great example of what we're to do by faith, is we got to get up and finish the race. Amen. We got to get up and finish the race. How many of us have fallen in the race of faith? I have. Maybe you have. But the Bible says that a just person falls seven times, but seven times he gets back up again. Pastor, has there ever been a morning you woke up and didn't have a lot of faith? Yeah, let me tell you a few of those mornings. But you get up and you run. You see, this cloud of witnesses demands it. We're being cheered on by the nameless and the famous. Just their very lives say to us, you can make it. Who was Abraham? Abraham was nothing. Let me just tell you that. Abraham was nothing before the call of faith. He was just the son of a sheep herder in a pagan country, worshiping pagan gods. That's all he was. But then he found God, the real God. And then he heard a call. He heard a voice saying, Abraham, leave your country, leave your kindred, and go. And he obeyed. And that's how Abraham became famous, is when he made that step of faith. Amen? When I moved to Battleground 42 years ago, nobody in Battleground knew who I was. Nobody. The church people had just told this young couple from Coos Bay are coming. That's all they were told. They didn't know me from Adam. They didn't know who I was. My neighbors didn't know me. All they knew is after I backed up that U-Haul trailer perfectly into my driveway, they knew I was some kind of fantastic driver. They didn't know that all the way here I was praying, God, help me to back it up and not put it in the ditch. Because I'm sure had I put it in the ditch, most people would not have showed up Wednesday night for church. But all this time later, I can count on this hand the people who know me. You know, it's not about fame. It's not about who we are. It's whether people know us as people of faith. People who stick it out. Let us lay aside the weight and sin that does so easily beset us. What trips us up? What trips you up? I know what trips me up. I prefer not to tell you that today. I will confess this. Sometimes my mouth trips me up. I've eaten more shoe leather in my life than I dare to even want to remember. And I apologize to anyone that I've hurt, because my tongue said the wrong thing at the wrong time. To my family, my heart would never hurt you, but sometimes my tongue has. Sometimes I wish I could unscrew it, take it out, beat it up really good, and then put it back in. But I know I'm the only one, right? What trips us up? The Bible says we need to lay it aside. We need to lay it aside. We can't let it stop us from moving forward in faith. Let us run with endurance. Endurance only comes because you've practiced and practiced and practiced. Endurance isn't a pill that you can take. I don't care what the commercials say. I hear it on the radio. See it on TV. Take this pill. It'll give you more endurance. Don't believe it. If you're gullible enough to buy that, I got some pills. I'll sell you. No, it's endurance comes when we've done it over and over and over and over. For every race I ran, for every 100-yard dash I ran, I can guarantee you I ran 10 or 20 before that race, trying to build up that endurance, endurance, endurance. Those are the ones nobody sees. It's the faith you exhibit when no one's looking that helps build the endurance. It's the faith that you live by when no one's going to applaud you for it that builds the endurance, so that when the real race comes, people can say, yay, go, win. And you've done it with endurance. And then it says, the race that is set before us. Now, this is where we all have to take separate paths. Up to now, we all kind of fit into the same lane, if you will. But now, the race that is set before us is different for each of us. We may have similar things that we have to race and go through. But you can't run my race for me, and I can't run my race for you, right? All the circumstances are different. They may be similar, but they're different. But I'm telling you this, if you'll stay in your lane, and you'll run it with endurance, and you'll lay aside the weight that besets you, you're going to make it to the finish line, and you're going to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. Amen? Amen. This is my race. And we're going to make it because of verse 2, and I'm done with this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. That's the only way we make it, is by keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's like Jesus is in our lane, but he's facing us, and he's saying, come on. Come on. Keep running. Keep going. You can make it. You can make it. You can do this. Get up. I know you're tired, but keep coming. I know you're going through something real hard, but keep coming. I know you're going to make it. I believe in you because you believe in me. It's like Jesus is there saying, do it. Come on, do it. Do it. And so you keep pushing and pushing and pushing because you know that he's going to be with you. No matter what obstacle comes your way, you're going to make it because you're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the call to faith. And if there's anyone here today, Lord, that feels weak in faith, I would love for them to be energized by faith and motivated by love, as the scripture teaches, and to get in the race again and not give up, give in, or give over to the enemy. Father, even those who may be going through difficult times right now, I pray strength for them, Lord, to run the race, because we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. Not only this list that we've read today, but the nameless ones, the people that love us and care for us and are behind us and help us, they're cheering us on and saying, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Let the weary be made strong today. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, your word says. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. O Lord, let us lay aside whatever it is that hinders us, whatever it is that trips us up. Let us put that to the side and keep running with endurance the race that's set before us, Lord. I don't have any choice in the race. That's chosen for me. But whatever it is, God equips me to run the race that He's called me to do. We thank You this morning for it today. In Jesus' powerful and wonderful name, amen. Let's thank the Lord for His word today, shall we? Amen. Amen. Amen.